We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the NBA Front Office Show. Front runners, thank you to everybody who joined us last night for Warriors versus Mavs. Ended up being another blowout game, but still was a lot of fun over on Playback. I'm going to put the link to the Playback channel in the description here so you guys can come join us for the next one that we do, which we're still deciding which one will be the next one that we do. Probably be a Mavs Warriors game again, but we'll have to check the schedule on that one. But again, appreciate everybody who joined us last night for that. That was a lot of fun. Keith, we did get a little bit of news here right before we came on. Al Horford will be back in action now. Upgraded to questionable, and I said this to you before we started recording, come playoff time, if you're upgraded to questionable, that typically means you're playing.
Yeah, my guess is there, and this is, let me be very, very clear, this is just a guess. This was probably what kept him out of game one was probably some kind of, maybe a false positive test. I don't know. Maybe there's something else going on testing. He may have been a close contact, and now they've done the retesting necessary to get him there. So yeah, he was out for game one. Then he was doubtful yesterday, was what his injury designation was, and that got upgraded to questionable today. And that's a weird upgrade, unless there's like a good chance he's going to play. So I assume that's where it is. Ime Udoka, for what it's worth, has said continually he feels fine and he feels good. So I'm guessing Al Horford is back. Marcus Smart, probable to play. The word is he's going to test out his foot pregame, but is very likely to play. So we'll see what's going on with the sprained right foot for him. And then Derek White, on the flip side, he is out. But Derek White's out for arguably the very best reason you could ever miss. He's gone home to Boston to be with his wife for the birth of his first child.
Is there anyone out there that is critical of that decision saying that is that happening? I would hope not, but assuming, knowing the Twitterverse, that it is happening.
Yeah. I mean, Trevor, I could say something like ice cream is good and people would fire back with like, here's why you're wrong. There's people out there who are being critical. Some of that is probably just people who get off on being ignorant trolls I've never understood that behavior. But there are legit people who are like, it's the playoffs. Like, this kid's not going to remember this anyway. And it's like, that's not what it's about. Like, you would never, ever forgive yourself if for missing the birth of a child. Yeah. Like, that's crazy. I mean, whatever. People are, not jobs, but. But yes, congratulations to the White family. Ime Udoka did say the plan was she was going to be induced between games when the Celtics returned back to Boston. But as a couple of dads, we know babies have their own schedule. They work on their own schedule. What does that say? My dad used to say it all the time. Man plans, God laughs. Like, that's, I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, look, I think it is a net positive. If you get back Marcus Smart and Al Horford, you lose Derek White. Derek White is one of your guys coming in off the bench. I think Marcus Smart, and not to say Derek White is inconsequential, but getting back Marcus Smart and Al Horford, I think that is a net positive for the Celtics. And we'll see what that means for the outcome of tonight's game. We've got Golden State up 1-0 and a pretty dominant win against the Mavs, particularly in the second half.
I'd say
they looked like
enough so that we clearly, I think, kind of lost interest a little bit. I mean, but I do want to say the cool thing about playback is, in case anybody's wondering, we are not sitting down to do a traditional play-by-play of the game. Right. That's not what either one of us does. It's more like, think of it as like you're watching a game with a couple of your buddies and we're like, oh man, good play. And just kind of commenting on things. And then we take a bunch of questions. I had a blast last night, despite the blowout nature of the game.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And so I'm glad that we get to continue doing these. The Warriors, I mean, man, they looked like they were in cruise control, and anytime they wanted, they just pushed down on the gas pedal and surged ahead of the Mavs again. I think there was a little bit of a fatigue element too with the Mavs that I saw. That doesn't mean that the Warriors weren't going to win the game anyway, but it'll be interesting to see what adjustments Dallas makes. And if they can't make enough adjustments to be competitive in this series, because they didn't look competitive last night for most of it.
Yeah, now it flips right to Jason Kidd has to come up with something a little different. I thought they did a really, really good job of getting up into Luka and making him really have to work. Not that teams don't make him work normally, but really, like, he just didn't seem like himself. At points in that game, I thought they threw different looks at him. And they did a really good job of keeping size on him at all times. That's probably the sneakiest thing about this Warriors team. Other than Stephen Curry, they're not very small. Even Jordan Poole is bigger than I think most people realize. So, yeah, I mean, all around, of course, the Warriors offense was the Warriors offense, and they were just, you know, kind of, you know, doing their thing. But yeah, it was tough. I mean, at one point we stopped doing it because it was just being, you know, mean almost, but the Mavs were shooting so poorly.
Yeah, it was awful.
You know, that it was like, yeah, we're not going to continue to keep saying, you know, oh yeah, they're down 2 of 18 from three or whatever it was. I mean, it was tough. But yeah, I'm very curious to see. I mean, Game 2 is always often one of the more fascinating games because it's, you know, what was real, what wasn't, and you start to get a real sense.
Yeah, and that's just it. You look at what happened with the Mavs last night. They did have a lot of wide open looks from three, particularly I think of Reggie Bullock, who had a lot of opportunities and just missed, finished 3 for 10 on the night. So, I mean, you make a few more threes, that obviously can change a lot in the game. So I'm not saying the Mavs are out of this, but this was a pretty dominant performance by the Warriors. I know we're kind of jumping back and forth here, but talk about game two. What are you expecting to see tonight for the Celtics and the Heat? How does that play out? Particularly, I'm curious to see how the Celtics deal with the pressure the Heat put on Jason Tatum. What counters can they come up with for that?
Yeah, I'll start with that specific part. I think the Heat I don't want to say they played soft defensively in terms of effort or hustle, but they played soft coverages, meaning that they kind of played back a little bit. They weren't up as, you know, into guys and as aggressive. What makes them so good is how quick they are and how quick their hands are, whether it's deflection, steal, strips, blocks, whatever it is. Their whole crew, that's what they do. And I think PJ Tucker came out at halftime and made it like his mission. Like, that's it. Jason Tatum's not going to eat us alive. Because Tatum destroyed them in the first half. He was so dominant. 21. Yeah, exactly. And a bunch of assists, too. He really played well. So in the first half, and then in the third quarter, it all kind of went sideways. Tatum had 6 turnovers in that quarter. Some of that was just very soft passes. I think the Celtics maybe get a little comfortable with, their lead maybe. But anyway, back to your question. So I think Miami's more aggressive to start. I think the Celtics, I'm looking for more two-man action between Tatum and Brown, where one of them is a screener, one is the ball handler. Really force the Heat into a difficult decision on how we want to cover that. With that, you know, really make that work. And then for Boston defensively, I think they need to switch less against certain players, especially like Jimmy Butler, because he kept, you know, really finding guys that he wanted to go at and felt comfortable going at. So I think what you need to do there is try to switch that a little bit less, invite him to take those jump shots, go under on a screen, maybe even drop back on him if you need to. You have to be careful with that because you don't want him to get ahead of steam going to the rim if it's not against size. But yeah, and foul less, obviously, took, you know, a million free throws in game one. That's not going to happen again. So I think we're going to get a great game two. probably really, really competitive. And, I give Boston a good chance here, especially if they can get Horford out there on the floor.
Are you surprised that we still didn't see any Duncan Robinson? We had talked about him potentially coming into this series, and yet game one, he continued to stay glued to the bench.
I know. The reason why is, so Max Strus basically took his role as that starting two guard designated shooter in the lineup. And he's a better defender than Robinson is. I hesitate to call him a good defender, but he's a very competitive defender. And then when you come off the bench, the guys that he'd have been playing off the bench, you know, Hero's going to get his, you know, anywhere from 25 to 35 minutes. That's going to be him. Deadman's going to get the backup big minutes behind Bam Adebayo. Victor Oladipo's reemergence as kind of this, you know, hybrid guard off the bench with Hero, that's left Robinson's only real spot then is to get the backup forward minutes behind Butler and Tucker. And those have gone to Caleb Martin because he's just a much better defender. And I think Eric Spoelstra's in a spot where we're going to figure out enough offense. Mm-hmm. Like we'll find enough offense, but we're really going to make sure we run with our defense. Like we want to keep defenders out on the floor. And Caleb Martin's really developed himself into a pretty good shooter too. So I think that's it. So I think Robinson remains all right, things have gone weird on us. We need to get some shooting. You know, even if it's at the expense of some defense, it's the only way we're going to get back in a game. Then you'll see him reemerge. And maybe if he's good enough, then he keeps that spot into the next game. But for now, I don't think Miami changes anything. And to be quite honest, nor should they.
Gosh, when you look at this Heat roster, you look at the guys that are getting minutes. It's so incredible, the guys that they've kind of reclaimed, right? or developed into stuff, you know, guys who were dismissed by other teams and have found ways into this Heat rotation. I mean, absolutely incredible job they've done, particularly without
Max Strus are on minimum contracts and they're both starting right now because Kyle Lowry is obviously still out. Deadman getting, you know, the production they get out of him. Oladipo, right? I mean, as odd as it sounds, that's, you know, one of the great trade deadline acquisitions, even though it was two trade deadlines ago that they got him. But, you know, rehabbing him all year and then, yeah, developing Caleb Martin. Even, you know, he's not in the rotation right now, but even a guy like Omer Yurtseven, who played pretty well at times when they needed him to. It's that, I think, is the secret to their success is it's just, all right, guys out, you play. Go out there. And I love to, they don't say, go do what Kyle Lowry does, Gabe Vincent. It's do what Gabe Vincent does to the best of Gabe Vincent's ability. It's always, we don't need you to be Kyle Lowry, be you, but be the best version of you. That's what we need. And they just, you know, continually put guys in success. It's Eric Spoelstra, I don't know.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I don't want to say this is a hot take, but I don't think it's even close that he is the best coach in the league. Like, I don't think anybody can touch him. I think, you know, when you talk development, the personnel management side of this, I mean, there's some personalities on that team that you got to manage through that part of it. And then obviously his game plans, his in-game adjustments. I don't think it's even close. I think he's easily the best coach in the league.
The cohesiveness of his rotations is really interesting, especially at the defensive end of the floor. You look at how rarely anybody is out of step or out of, I mean, that's the key to defense. Yep. All five guys have got to be, you know, together on a string. And yep. even when guys go out, somehow you still have that effect where everybody is exactly where they need. That is so hard, so hard to do when you've got guys going in and out of the lineup or the rotation. So impressive stuff. But again, the Celtics defense has been formidable as well. They've also had that quality in terms of their rotations and doing what they need to do. I think we're in for a battle tonight. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
And I will say this too, Boston in 2022, the hallmark of this team has been their resiliency. When things look bad, they bounce back and play often at their best. So I'm with you. I think we're going to get a great game, and it would not shock me at all if we're headed back to Boston, you know, for game three, tied 1-1. And right, if you're the road team in a series, that's your goal. Split the first two. You know, you lost the first one. Fine. It's over. Put it behind you. Try to go get the next one and go. This is good information. I think Chris Haynes just tweeted this because a million people are asking, you know, how can Al Horford get back? And there's two ways. Two consecutive negative PCR tests at least 24 hours apart. That we're probably getting there, right? Mm-hmm. And then two consecutive PCR tests at least 24 hours apart with CT values greater than 30, starting no sooner than day 4 and day 5, where day 0 is initial positive test. So it's not the second one, because he didn't test that far out. We're not that far out as far as we could tell. So it sounds like we're really, we're in the number one spot there with the two consecutive negative tests. Yep. That is my guess.
And from the Woj tweet, they've been testing him consistently in order to make sure, like, hey, if we have a shot at this, let's make sure that we get this if we can.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Let's jump over to, I guess there's some rumors here. Tim Connelly potentially on the move. I mean, it sounds like deep in conversations, potentially join the Wolves. What are your thoughts on that? On that whole dynamic, we rarely hear this kind of stuff about front office personnel moving. Mm-hmm. What's the significance of this situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing to take away is that the Wolves' new ownership group, Mark Lori and Alex Rodriguez, are committed to, we're going to go get, you know, a big dog to run our front office. And we're committed to trying to win and, you know, really get this thing in a different place. It's Minnesota has consistently over the years been one of those teams that's not, I don't want to say they've been cheap, but they have not made those big pushes, right, to go get, you know, guys, whether it be front office members, coaches, even players sometimes. So I think this is a sign that it's a whole new ball game here with new ownership. I don't even think that's full transition has even happened, but it's pretty clear they're now running the show there. And then they're going to, if they can get Tim Connelly, that's huge. One, you take him away from a direct division rival in Denver. That's obviously big. And then you bring him in and, you know, what a great job he's done building that Nuggets team. Yeah. He's really done a good job. I quickly took over for Masai Ujiri when he left to go to Toronto. I think that was the transition. Back and check that. Beyond that, it's been a while, right, since Masai was there, and he's done a lot of stuff, you know, kind of, you know, hit the right guys in the draft. It's getting a little tough for Denver. They're starting to get super duper expensive, so it might not be the worst time in the world to, you know, move and see if you want to do something different. But yeah, I mean, I think this is, you know, pretty massive, you know, all around.
There's not a lot of flexibility to tinker with the Nuggets anymore because they've kind of said, okay, these are our guys. Let's go. We're going to commit to them and we're going to see how far this can take us. You can make some move around the edges, which, as we've been talking with the Miami Heat, those things can absolutely matter. Those moves around the edges can matter, but I could also see the appeal of going to Minnesota, weather notwithstanding, but I could see the appeal of going to Minnesota.
Hey, you said that, but did you see, I think, they're in Colorado, supposed to get between 4 and 10 inches of snow today in parts of Colorado. So, yeah. But I learned this. Do you know Denver has more days of sunshine than we have here in Orlando?
Really?
That's interesting. Yeah.
And that's just got to be a rain situation there in Orlando, giving you cloudy days. But
I mean, we rain. It rains almost every day here in the summer, usually. But yes.
Okay. Interesting.
I bet. There it is. There's your weather fact.
There's our fun weather fact of the. That's going to start being our thing.
The NBA is, weather.
Show. It's going to be NBA / MCU / weather.
Weather. Yeah. We'll start breaking down free agent reports based on weather and the like. I mean, it is a real thing, though. It does factor in to, you know, I mean, I can tell you, Orlando and Miami use two things as a sales pitch regularly. The weather and no state income tax here. They hammer those two things, you know, repeatedly when they pitch free agents, beyond all the other things that go into it as well. But yes, sorry, we're getting way off track here.
We're going to have to spend a lot more time covering the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, well done. Well done. Well played. I enjoyed that.
We should
let's go back to one other part of this story, though.
Yeah. The targets.
And I think this is the maybe even the more kind of bigger news. Mm-hmm. The Wolves went big game hunting. Like they were, you know, all right, Tim Connelly is the one we think. But when they made their list, they looked at it. It was Sam Presti, Masai Ujiri, Bob Myers, and Tim Connelly. They initially also put Pat Riley at the top of their list. Maury. But decided, all right, neither one of those guys are probably, you know, remotely gettable. And then they looked at the other four to see, you know, should we go? And it seems like Ujiri just recently signed his contract extension. And he also got ownership stake. He got a lot of stuff. So he's not leaving Toronto anytime soon. Myers is known to have signed a contract extension in 2019. We don't know about Sam Presti. There was some buzz. Maybe Boston could have gone after Sam Presti before they made the Danny Ainge retirement step down. Brad Stevens moves up. But, I mean, if you're Minnesota, whoa, talk about, you know, that's the kind of, well, you know this as a teacher. Well, what is that quote? Teachers, every teacher I ever had love, shoot for the moon, because at least you'll be among the stars or whatever.
You miss or whatever. Something to that. But I was never that style of teacher, but yes.
You were like, turn in your homework.
Yeah, just do your work. Just try. Just try a little bit. That was my motivation. That's a positive sign, I think, for Minnesota. And even you can look at this and you can say, oh my gosh, this is so unreasonable. What a joke. Why would they ever even think they can get those guys? No, that doesn't mean they thought they would get that. That meant they thought, you know what, let's at least put forth the effort and see if there's any interest here. Let's not limit ourselves and say, well, we're the Minnesota Timberwolves. We're not going to get any of these guys. Forget it. Let's just move on. No, go find out. Shoot your shot. And who knows, maybe it'll work out. So I think it's a good sign for Minnesota that those guys are the people that are on their list.
Completely agree. If I was a Wolves fan, I'd be jazzed by this, because this means, hey, our new owners they're in this. This is not just a hobby for them. This is not like they're in this. They want to win. So I'd be super excited whether you get Connelly or not. Maybe it doesn't even go that way, but they're trying, and I think that's really good. I mean, we say it all the time. What do you want from an owner? Spend a lot of money and get the heck out of the way.
Yep.
Right. And it seems like the Wolves are trying to do that, because you're going to spend a lot of money for one of these guys. And then you're certainly, I hope, going to say, do your thing. You know, let us know what you need. How much to make the checkout for? Sure. Done. Let's go. So, you know, great, great, great for the Wolves.
Let's talk about this all rookie team and the egregious snub of Austin Reeves. How did this happen? There is some sort of conspiracy happening here for sure. No, none of that is true. The all-rookie team pretty much, and we can quibble over should this guy have been first team or should this guy have been second team, it pretty much got filled out like we expected it to.
Yeah, Scotty Barnes, Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, all unanimous first team, no questions at all about that. Franz Wagner got 84 first team votes, 15 second team votes. Some poor unfortunate soul did not vote for him, period, for the all rookie team. But I don't have a problem there. Then it gets into, should it have been Jalen Green? Should it have been Herbert Jones? With an outside chance of Josh Giddey. Those were the next three guys. Jalen Green got the final first place or first team voting. So your first team, Scotty Barnes, Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Franz Wagner, Jalen Green. So the top four picks in the draft, plus Orlando had the fifth pick, but not the guy they drafted fifth. That was Jalen Suggs. Then the second team, Herb Jones and Josh Giddey, mm-hmm. led the second team. Then Bones Highland, Ayo Dosunmu, and Chris Duarte. Rounded out. Jonathan Kuminga was closest. He had 47 second team votes. Chris Duarte had 52 second team votes. Ayo Dosunmu got 2 first team votes. And then Gideon Jones got 24 and 32 first team votes, respectively. So I don't have any real problem with this. I think, the right guys made it. Just to close the door on it, Austin Reeves, 2 second team votes. Yep. For your guy, HBK, right? Billy Kobe.
HBK. Bones Highland, no matter what. That was my thought going into last year's draft. Great to see him doing well. Wish he was in a different jersey, but great to see him doing well. he is a lot of fun, and glad to see him get that second team nod there. I think it was kind of funny. So I put it there on Twitter. I tweeted out something to the effect of Austin Reeves did not make first or second team all rookie, and just a picture of Austin Reeves, and people went berserk on both sides. I've got Lakers fans saying, "What? How is this possible? Shouldn't he be on one of these teams?" And then I've got fans of everyone else pointing at this tweet and saying, "Look how delusional Lakers fans are, and how could they even think that?" I literally just tweeted out he wasn't on first or second team. And people are taking that however, whichever way that they want. And it's fantastic. I love Twitter.
We can do a whole show on that comment later, I guess. In general, I love Twitter too. I really do. I need to be better about setting aside the hands I encounter each day and avoiding them. Hey, let's stay on in all this stuff. We'll use this as a trend. Mm-hmm. Woj did a pod with Mike Schmitz from ESPN, which if you guys have been following Mike Schmitz for a while, like I have been all the way back to the Draft Express days when he was just kind of like a up and coming guy. He's awesome. He's a superstar at this draft stuff now. It's super cool to see him kind of become champion. So that's just a personal aside here. What I would say is, I gotta share this. This is a break-in. So sorry. John Krasinski tweeted just wrapped for the day. Head out to the movies. What should I see? And somebody said, "How about the new Doctor Strange movie?" His reply: fantastic.
Okay, all right.
I love it.
He's a fan. That means he's already seen it and he thinks it's fantastic, or he saw it.
You do not know.
Fantastic? Because of Reed Richards.
Yeah.
That's what he was going for with that. Oh. See, that was, and look, obviously by this point I've kind of heard, what happens, even though I haven't seen the movie and all that, I've heard what happens and all that. And just from an outside perspective, again, having not seen the movie, my initial thought was, really? Like, people have been begging Marvel to bring in all these different characters into the MCU, and they bring them on for a couple of minutes and then brutally kill them? Like, that...
Oh, it was great. It was awesome.
Okay, I was like...
Yeah. Because it's not the real ones, right? I'm doing quotes around real.
Right.
So, yeah, it was... You know what it reminded me of? Do you remember when... when Independence Day first came out, the movie Independence Day, mm-hmm. and it was like, oh my gosh, they're like blowing up all these monuments all over the world, all these major things, and people were kind of like, oh, that's interesting. Then that happened in real life very horribly, and it was like, oh yeah, that's not as much fun. At least these are made up characters, so it was a little fun to be like, oh man, like, I'm going to spoil the heck out of this. So skip ahead, three if you need to. Hit like 3 skips ahead. I'll get it in quickly. Black Bolt, the character Black Bolt, right? His voice basically disintegrates anything that he speaks at. Wanda seals up his mouth and he literally goes, and then because of that, it can't come out. So it reverberates and explodes his head.
Yeah.
Basically, so they did a really good job. Like, it was dark stuff. Like, this is why you can't take your daughter to it, because this was not great stuff here. But yeah, it was Yeah, it was good stuff. So all right, we'll come off the Doctor Strange stuff. I'll go back to the draft thing I was talking about. But
that that if that,
so
if
I just saw
he,
that
if
tweet.
That's what he meant though, then that is indeed a fantastic.
Oh, it's 100%
reference there, but
without a doubt, it's he's that's 100%. So all right, anyway, we'll go back to basketball here. So last year's draft. Woj on this pod with Mike Schmitz, they're talking about this year's draft and they were talking about the Thunder and could the Thunder move up the board or not. Woj reported the Thunder tried to trade up to draft Evan Mobley number one overall. Last year they offered multiple picks and the Cavaliers basically said, yeah, not interested, like we're good, we want him. Mm-hmm. And what he says is let me get the quote here. It's rare when somebody trades out of that spot. For all the picks the Thunder have, Kobe Altman knew what he had in Mobley. I don't think Sam Presti could have offered him enough to get him out of that pick. So that is kind of matches the things I've been saying about the Thunder for months now. You're not going to necessarily be able to overwhelm teams because teams don't then want to turn into where they are. Where it's like, all right, we you know, what are we going to do with 9 million picks? And I wrote about this for Spot Track. You can go find the article about do the Thunder have too much of a good thing? And it's, are those picks really all that great? Like, that's another thing you have to wonder about, too. So so anyway, just interesting that they tried to trade up, for Mobley.
Remind me, though, like, am I forgetting something about that draft? I mean, Detroit had the number one pick there. Was there?
Yeah, no, he's saying they would have drafted Mobley at number one. So they were trying to get up to the pick when he was still available.
They were trying to get to three in order to get Mobley, saying that he was the top guy on their board. Okay. That makes sense. Got it.
Yeah, I that's on me. I didn't phrase that really well.
I'm like, did Cleveland and Detroit do a draft? Are we looking at, is it a Tatum situation here? Is that, and I'm completely forgetting. I'm like,
no, that's on me.
I'm like, I thought Detroit had the number one all along there.
I got excited about Dr. Strange and John Krasinski and Mr. Fantastic. What can I say?
You know what? I saw some criticism of this, and I know I'm pulling this aside again, but that said that they didn't stay true to the character because he did stupid stuff. Stuff that like, Mr. Fantastic would never really do, like revealing Black Bolt's power to just be neutralized. Like he's the guy who is smarter than everyone else and outthinks everyone else. There's zero chance that he would actually reveal what the power was that was going to destroy her, you know, just little things. And again, that's I think a minor complaint because you're just supposed to have fun with these movies. Sure. But I hope when we get the real version, we do get like the real version that doesn't, you know, do dumb stuff.
So I have two thoughts on that. One, complete agreement. Yeah, Reed Richards is known as one of the more, he kind of is Tony Stark, Stephen Strange, like arrogantness, but kind of almost to a different level. Like, I'm the smartest guy in the room and you're all morons. But I will remind everybody, this was not a variant version, but a multiverse version, a different version. So maybe in this world, Richards is really nice and he was trying to, you know, tell Wanda like don't, and then he got turned into spaghetti. So anyway, back to more draft stuff. This was the other piece as we transition into this year's draft. Woj reported that the Magic are going to lean between Jabari Smith and Chet Holmgren. Those are the two guys the Magic are looking at going. I kind of wonder, are they looking at maybe with OKC? Could you say, if OKC's like, we got to get player X, near the Magic, do you say, yeah, we're good with player Y, move back and get an extra pick? I don't move back one pick and get the 12th pick, one pick and get one of those future picks that are from the Thunder or to the Thunder.
That's
you should say.
That's interesting. That way
it could go.
Because my first thought was, this is not good for Orlando, for it to come out that they're deciding between two players. Don't you want it to be between three players? So there's greater uncertainty, more likelihood that a team might trade up in order to get their guy because they're not sure their guy's going to be there. But if it really is two, and OKC is starting to worry, like, hey, we really want one of those two, maybe you put more pressure on them by narrowing it down. Because if OKC is looking at it as, well, you know, they could pick any of these three guys, and we just want this one guy. All right, we've got a 2/3 chance that that guy's going to be there. Whereas if not, if it's just 1 out of 2, then OKC might feel a little bit less comfortable in order to that their guy will be there and then might want to trade up.
Yeah. The only reason why I do kind of wonder if we get to that point where it turns into a, how do I put this? Like where it turns into a, is there a trade to be made? I don't know that any of these teams are going to be that locked in on this is the guy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, maybe we're a month out from the draft. So a lot of things will happen between now and then. And we're getting a lot of stuff out of the combine of, there's already stuff, rumors of players who are going to cancel workouts and maybe drop out, which generally tends to lean to, right? They've got kind of a promise. So, you know, so I really don't know what to, you know, make of that. And, you know, but yeah, it's let's see, you know, where all that goes with that. But yeah, I mean, it's gonna be a lot. But those three guys, I think are, I mean, it's tough. I tweeted it this morning. I'm gonna change my mind 100 times of the top guy, of the ordering of those three, of everything. Like, it's gonna be, you know, a long, long time before I feel, you know, really settled on that. And I don't even know that I'll feel comfortable by the time we get to draft day. I think those guys are so good.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. And I think the uncertainty is actually a good thing. I mean, last year's draft, not to say it was boring, but I mean, we knew Cade Cunningham was going to be the 101 the entire time. And to have this uncertainty, I think is good. It just adds to the drama, adds to the intrigue. And I think it adds to the possibilities of moves happening if you don't know for sure what other teams are going to do.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's, yeah, you want it to be, you know, I want crazy stuff to happen, you know, from the, you know, at the top of the draft and all throughout the draft. Yep. When I don't have a rooting interest, you know what the rooting interest becomes.
Chaos.
Maximum chaos. Yep. Yep.
Bring the chaos. And with that, I think that's about it for today. I think
hey, actually one quick thing.
Oh.
Just cause it's, I mean, what else do we really expect him to say? Department James Jones gave an interview in Phoenix. DeAndre Ayton's a big part of what we do. Basically, yeah, we're proud of his improvement. Blah blah blah. At no point did he say we're definitely resigning him or anything like that. But yeah, it's it's there. I have to shout this out just because this is really stupid and funny. There is a very well-known website that has a forum, and one of their forum discussions that's cranking right now is, what happens if a crazy fanatic kidnapped an opposing team's star player before a really important game?
Isn't that the plot of an Celtic old
Pride
movie?
Exists.
Yeah.
I mean, the movie exists. So just watch that.
Yeah, just go watch that movie, happens. And that'll tell you exactly what's going on.
What are we doing?
My gosh.
So, yeah.
All right. I think we should before we go any further off the rails, we should call it a day there.
Yeah, we probably should have ended this show 10 minutes ago.
Appreciate everybody who hung in there with us. Make sure you do subscribe to the NBA Front
Office. Appreciate everybody who hung in and watched the dog too at the end of a couple videos ago.
That's right.
When Trevor spliced in a little blooper reel of the dog. I think my mic might still be wet from him. his app. But yeah, he really wanted to be on the show that day.
He was excited to get on camera. I don't blame him. He was excited for it. All right.
Absolutely.
We're going to wrap things up there. Appreciate everybody for joining us. Make sure you do subscribe to the NBA Front Office YouTube channel. Don't forget, go give us that 5-star rating over on Apple Podcasts. And leave us a review. Great way to help out the show. Till next time, everybody. See ya, and stay safe.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day from Movement. Whether your mom is into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, everything at Movement is up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale. A watch is a gift that celebrates all the time you spent with mom. And a Movement watch is even more than that. Movement uses industry-leading materials for their fresh, modern watch designs, from technically complex ceramics to vintage-inspired style, all for an incredible value your wrist and wallet will both love. And with one-size-fits-all convenience and fast, free shipping and returns, it's a stress-free shopping experience. Save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with Movement. Get up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.